I can't believe I won.
And you still got people out there with double masks and face shields and shit. Look into it.
You can tell it's real because it looks so fake.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Look Into It. Tonight is our special 9/11 episode, so we're going to be talking about all sorts of crazy stuff. No jujitsu tonight, no music tonight. We're going to get real political, and we'll dabble with a little conspiracy theories. My guest, I met him on a comedy show that Sam Tripoli was throwing at the Ice House, Mr. Jimmy Dore. How you doing, Jimmy?
Eddie, it's great to see you. Thanks for having me on. Fantastic. Hey, thank
you for doing this, man. And I watch your videos almost every day on YouTube. I subscribe to your channel. And the one thing I love a lot of things about your show, but I really like where you're coming from. Like, I describe you. I don't know you that well, and I want you to really take me through your journey and how you got to this point. But what I like about you is you coming from, you know, you're a Bernie Sanders fan. I don't know if you still are, but you were. I would consider you way more left than right. And you like Bill Maher and like Joe Rogan. You're starting to see a lot of people who are leaning left. You're starting to realize that the left was infiltrated by demons, and it's just so ridiculously insane. I considered myself a Democrat. I never voted. I still haven't voted, but I would always consider myself growing up a Democrat, gun to my head, you know, because to me, Republicans are like George Bush, fuck that dude. And, you know, Democrats like the party generally more than Republicans, you know, and I wanted to be a rock star, and, you know, I was always getting drunk, smoking weed. So I leaned to the left my whole life, but since having a kid and getting married, things kind of change, and it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous what's going on these days. It's like every day, it's like the dumbest shit that like the Biden administration is just coming up with. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose. It's like they're trying to get fired. What do you think the state of the left is right now?
Well, don't you wonder who's really running the country? Because it's not Joe Biden. He's obviously demented as shit, and he's not making any decisions. So I wonder who really is making these decisions. And it's weird, you know. A lot of people are sick with the cultural bullshit of what they consider to be the left. But what happened was, the corporations found out that they'd rather talk about identity and politicians, the politicians they own. And the reason why there's such a big push to talk about identity politics all the time. And what is identity politics? Identity politics, instead of the government fixing a problem, they put a person who's from a marginalized group in charge of the problem, so you shut the fuck up about it while they don't fix it. For instance, like Pete Buttigieg, right? He's got two things going for him. He's gay, and he's really gay. But he doesn't have a goddamn accomplishment. He couldn't fix a fucking pothole in goddamn South Bend, Indiana, but somehow he's the head of the fucking transportation. Anyway, so I'm getting away from myself. But what I say is, if it was 1860, the Democrats wouldn't be fixing slavery. They'd be bragging about their first transgendered slave owner. So, and why would they be doing that? Because you don't have to fix a problem. Why does Nike love Black Lives Matter? They don't love Black Lives. Nike's not going to fucking do anything to help Black Lives, but they are going to embrace Black Lives Matter because it's a good virtue signal and it makes them look like they give a shit, but they're still going to have all their products made by slaves and fucking prisoners. Okay. They don't give a shit about fucking Black Lives. So when corporations can co-opt that kind of shit, that's why you see it everywhere. That's why you see the Democratic politicians kneeing down with kente cloth, honoring Black Lives Matter. And then they go and give $2 billion more to start a new police agency. That's what I'm fucking talking about here. And so that's why why you see so much of this being pushed, right? We're talking about bathrooms and who can compete against each other in sports and what is a woman and all this. And we're talking about everything except, hey, how do we get healthcare to everybody like the rest of the fucking world? Hey, how do we get a living wage in America? 80% of the workers live paycheck to paycheck. Half the country can't afford a $500 emergency, and half of all wage earners earn less than $30,000 a year in the richest country the face of the earth has ever seen. And what I tell people is, what do you call a system that takes the richest country the face of the earth has ever seen and render 80% of its workers living paycheck to paycheck? You call that a failed fucking system. And so this isn't a left-right issue anymore. But that's what they want us to do, Eddie. They want the left and the right to be fighting, even though we want the same things. We want to end the wars and invest that money back here. We want healthcare that doesn't bankrupt us. We want a living fucking wage. And we want to take care of the homeless people that are under every goddamn bridge. And we could have did that 10 times over with the money we sent to fucking Ukraine so far. But why did we send that money? Because the Republicans and Democrats are both fucking working for the same person. I was a Democrat my whole life up until 2016 when they screwed Bernie Sanders and threw the primary was rigged for Hillary Clinton. It was rigged. That's not hyperbole. It was fucking rigged. And Elizabeth Warren admitted it on television before she had to walk it back. So I used to be a Democrat all my life, and Democrats say, oh, the Democrats, if they would just fight harder, if they were just a little better at politics. Hey, the Democrats are perfect at their job. Their job is to be the Washington Generals to the Republicans, Harlem Globetrotters, if you know what that is, right? And it always looks like the Washington Generals are going to win this one, but they get a bad call from the parliamentarian, I mean the ref or whatever, and they fucking lose. Why? Because they're being paid by the same person. The same guy who pays the Harlem Globetrotters is the same guy who pays the Washington Generals. Same guy pays the Republicans, same guy who pays the Democrats. Ralph Nader said fucking 22 years ago, the difference between a Democrat and a Republican is how fast their knee hits the floor when a donor walks in the room. That's the only fucking difference. And so in my show, what I'm trying to drive home is don't get caught up in all this identity politics, cultural bullshit. Keep your eye on the prize. They're fucking looting our treasury, and they're giving it to the military industrial complex and Wall Street and Big Pharma. Hey, why does Big Pharma get to make $100 billion off a fucking necessary vaccine we all need? Why do they get to price gouge like that? $100 billion fucking dollars? You know how much money the music industry makes in the United States every year? The whole year, every fucking recorded piece of music from Snoop Dogg to whoever's popular now to Beethoven. You know how much money the music industry makes? $12 billion a year. You know how much fucking Pharma's going to make? $100 billion this year. What in the, why are they allowed to do that? Because they own the fucking government. And that's why we're not allowed to criticize them like we're supposed to be able to on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, because you can't criticize who fucking rules you. And who rules us is corporate America, military industrial complex, Wall Street, and big fucking pharma. And that's the world we're in right now. And they want us to hate each other because you're on the left, you're on the right. I'm not going to hate my fucking neighbor who got crushed in a fucking controlled demolition that the billionaire oligarchs did on this fucking country during COVID, where they all got richer and everybody else got poor. And they want me to hate my fucking neighbor and blame my pain on him because he wouldn't take a vaccine that never worked the way they fucking said it did.
Amen. Well, this episode is going to come out in like maybe 2 weeks. So 9/11 will be a distant memory. But I want to get your thoughts on 9/11. First, I want to get your thoughts on 9/11 back then. Like, where were you at? I remember where I was at. I probably shouldn't talk about that, but I remember where I was at. Where were you at? And what was your feeling? Did you believe the official story?
I was already dealing with a low grade depression that I'd never had a depression before in my life.
And were you doing comedy back then?
Yeah. Okay. I started comedy. Come on, baby.
My audience doesn't know when you started.
Oh, that's okay. That's right. I started in 1989, my first stand-up thing. And I moved to L.A. in 1995, and then I started getting on TV right away. I started doing NBC Late Fridays, Friday Night Videos, Comedy Central shit. And then I got my first special in 2003 on Comedy Central, my second one in 2008. And then I did I did a, that was chosen best of the year by iTunes. And if, the reason I tell you that, Eddie, is because if I don't, fucking nobody else will.
And, were you doing political humor? Were you doing you were doing like George Carlin type stuff?
Well, in my mind, I was. It was called Citizen Jimmy, the 2008 Comedy Central special.
But President Bush is protecting us from terror, terror. He likes to say it, doesn't he? He's always saying terror. Terror. American people have to understand terror. He's always saying it, terror, terror. Look over there, terror. That's the difference between President Bush and other presidents, right? Other presidents try to calm us in a time of panic. Right? FDR, World War II, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. George Bush, terror, terror. Terror, hot, terror, terror. Oh, I was just eating lunch. Terror. Everybody's afraid of the terror. You know, whenever someone's trying to scare you that much, they're trying to manipulate you, right? Just like the news, they've been scaring us to watch forever. Every commercial for the news is trying to scare you. What's underneath your kitchen sink? Could it be killing you? We'll tell you at 11. What's killing me? No, tell me no! We're gonna tell you at 11. I work nights!
And I thought that was gonna make me a big star, Eddie. I was like, yeah, I got chosen best of the year by Punchline Magazine and iTunes. And I'm like, I'm on the way, baby!
There it is.
And no, I didn't start selling tickets. I don't know why, but it didn't happen. And can I tell you a funny story? I was talking to my dad, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And you know, my dad never wanted me to be a comedian, whatever. And I said, hey, Dad, my special got chosen best of the year by iTunes and Punchline Magazine. What do you think of that? And he goes, never heard of him. That's my dad. It was fantastic. So
so where are you originally from?
So I'm originally from Chicago, Southside of Chicago. I started comedy in Chicago. And I moved out to L.A. in 95. That's when there was a big comedy boom in the late 80s, early 90s. They were opening comedy clubs in every city. And if you could stand on stage, then you could get a job paid as a comedian. And that was the problem, I think. There was way too much comedy clubs and there weren't enough good comedians and people went out. People would ask me, they go, hey, Jimmy, why do you think the comedy boom ended? What do you think happened? I go, I'll tell you what didn't happen. What didn't happen is people got sick and tired of coming out and having a great fucking time. I'll tell you, that's what didn't happen. And I think people came out and saw one too many shitty shows and it's going to be hard to get them back to see a fucking comedian that they don't know by name. And so that's why when podcasts happened, that re-energized the comedy club business was when podcasts happened, because then people could find out their favorite comedians from comedy podcasts. And then they would come to town, they'd know who the fuck they are and they would go see them. And so that was a big help. But getting back to the 9/11, I was sitting on my couch waiting to go do I was going to go do an audition that day for HGTV, some fucking hosting job. And I got a phone call from my agent. He's like, hey, everything's off. I go, why? What happened? He's like, you didn't see what happened? And I'm like, no, I don't know what happened. And then I saw what happened. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got a phone call too. I was supposed to go to New York. I was supposed to go to New York with Joe Rogan. He was going to make an appearance on Howard Stern's show. And I was going to go with him. And I was all excited and everything. And I was working as a DJ at a strip club at that time. And I had spent the night at this one stripper's house apartment that I was dating. Her nickname was Born Again because she was a born again Christian and she was only stripping to get through nursing school. So this is hilarious. Joe named her. He goes, who are you seeing tonight? Born Again? I go, yeah, I'm gonna go to Born Again's house. But anyways, I was at Born Again's house and then I got a call from my buddy Todd White. And he goes, dude, it looks like you're not going to Howard Stern. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, you haven't seen? I said, no. I said, turn on the TV. Turn on the TV. And there it was. I was like, damn, I guess I'm not going to New York.
Oh, man.
That was it.
Well, at least now, you know, Howard Stern has become a big fan of Joe Rogan's.
They don't like each other too much these days, I think.
Isn't it weird to watch Howard Stern turn into the thing he used to fucking rail against? He became an establishment fucking shill. He's on family. He's invited with open arms on family television. Hillary Clinton sits down with him for 3 hours and isn't offended for 1 minute. It's fucking amazing. He turned into an old lady. Howard Stern's a fucking old bitch.
Man, I used to be obsessed with Howard Stern. My alarm clock was set to the Howard Stern radio show. And many times my alarm would go off and the Howard Stern show would be on and I would still be asleep. I'd have many dreams where I'm hanging out with Howard and Robin Quivers and Beetlejuice. I'm just hanging out with them in my dreams. We're just talking. And then, but once he moved to Sirius or wherever the hell he went, yeah. It kind of just faded away. Although I'll still watch some clips and stuff on YouTube. But yeah, he's gotten a little too.
He's friends with Hillary fucking Clinton. Yeah. What is that? What else do you need to know? He's friends with the people that are supposed to be allergic to him. Why? Because he's not threatening to the establishment anymore, because he is the establishment, which is why he was a fucking unpaid big pharma shill. I maybe it's not unpaid. Maybe they run commercials on his fucking show. I bet they do. So, yeah, that's what happened with him during COVID. He became a fucking Nancy, publicly shitting his pants every fucking day because he's too afraid to go outside.
Yeah. Yeah. You got jabbed, correct? Right. You talk about it and you,
yeah.
You,
so
you
I got
a bad reaction.
Yeah. I got vaccine injured. Right. So I was going along. I didn't want to, I was scared to death of the virus. Like everybody, I bought everything they said on TV. I bought it that it was going to kill me. I was sure if I got the virus, it was going to go. I have a bone condition that it was going to go right to my bones and fucking kill me. And so I was scared to death of it. And so when the vaccine became available, I went and got the vaccine and I got vaccine injured, of course.
What happened?
So you know how you have the symptoms, like, you know, after you get the jab, you get like a headache for 24 hours or you get body aches or you get a fever or you get exhausted or whatever. I got all that shit for fucking 2 months. Wouldn't go away. So, shit.
You were just feeling like shit for 2 months. Just
so after my second jab, a month after my second jab, I was feeling like shit. I was this every day. And so I knew something was wrong. So I tweeted about it and I just said, hey, these are my symptoms. Is anybody else? And of course, a bunch of assholes called me a liar. It's just amazing, right? And then this guy, this doctor, who was running a trial to try to treat people with COVID. He's trying to figure out how to treat them. And he was trying to figure out how to treat people with long COVID. And he discovered that people, a lot of people who got injured by the jab, biologically presented the same way with the same biological markers as people who had long COVID, even though I never had COVID.
Sam Tripoli and I are coming to your town. Catch us on the road doing tinfoil hat comedy. Follow me on Instagram at tinfoil hat comedy night. Thursday, January 26th in Long Beach. Saturday, January 28th in Bakersfield. February 24th will be in Spokane, Washington. February 25th will be in Tacoma, Washington. Go to samtripoli.com for more information and to buy your tickets. See you on the road.
So he went and I had to go to a special place and get special tests done. They had to draw my blood and do all this special stuff. And then he showed me, he goes, look, see, here's what somebody who has long COVID, here's where their biological markers and here's your biological markers. It looks like you had long COVID, but you never had COVID. You only got the vax. And so he had a working theory that people who got jabbed and had a reaction like me would present as if, so the jab was giving us the symptoms of long COVID. And then they treated me the way they were treating other people who had long COVID, and it worked. And so I got better. And they, you know, they lied about ivermectin, just so you know. And why did they lie? They told you it was a horse paste and horse poison, and you were crazy if you took it. It's one of the most prescribed human medicines in human history. It's a wonder drug. They think it might be able to cure certain cancers, and it won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for human medicine, and it's on the WHO list of essential medicines. And if you go to the NIH website, they say they're studying it to see if it treats COVID. Still, they're still studying it.
But for sure, it treats the flu, right?
Ivermectin?
Yeah, like that. It works for the flu and malaria.
It worked for coronaviruses in vitro before. It's and so they were honest. It's a wonder drug. And so why did they lie to you about that? Because if I on the outside chance that ivermectin could treat COVID, they couldn't get their emergency use authorization and they couldn't make $100 billion. And how much is $100 billion? That's enough money to buy everybody in the government and everybody in the media. There's only six fucking media companies. And that's what they did. And so they lied. And that was the big beauty of Joe Rogan, is that he got Sanjay Gupta, a fucking pothead comedian who announces guys fighting in cages, got a doctor from fucking CNN to actually admit he doesn't know about natural immunity and he didn't know anything about, and they were lying about ivermectin. He admitted that they were lying about ivermectin and that it's not horse poison and that it's actually a WHO list of essential medicine, Nobel Prize list. And so they only told you one part of that law, that thing. Oh, it is used for horses, but it's also a human medicine. And so they only told you one part of it, which is a whole lie. And why would they tell you that? Why would the media lie to you? Why would politicians lie to you? Because they're fucking bought and paid for by Big Pharma. 70% of the fucking advertising on news comes from fucking Big Pharma. And the FDA gets their money from Big Pharma. The people who are supposed to be regulating the FDA are being fucking funded by them. And so that's why they lied about ivermectin. And so when they lied about that, when I got vaccine injured and I couldn't get better, I started to look into the vaccine and all this shit. And everything I looked at, they were lying about. They were lying about masks. They were lying about where the virus came from. They said it couldn't come from a lab. You're a conspiracy. They were lying about that. And why were they lying about that? They were lying about that because they invented the fucking coronavirus, COVID-19 virus in a U.S. biolabs. And how do I know that? Because the head of the Lancet group, Jeffrey Sachs, he said on TV that he's been studying it for 2 years as the head of the Lancet group's study group on COVID. And he said it came from a U.S. weapons biolab. And so they invented it. Fauci funded the fucking research that invented the COVID-19 virus. And then he's going to sell you a vaccine for $100 billion. What do you call that, Eddie, when someone invents a problem and then sells you the solution? That's called a fucking scam. And I realized quickly that we were in the middle of a fucking scam when I started to look into it. They were lying about masks. They were lying about herd immunity. They were lying about gain of function. They were lying about where the fucking virus came from. They were lying about natural immunity. They were lying about ivermectin. They were lying about anything that Fauci talked about. He was fucking lying.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
The guy's a pathological liar who lied to Congress twice. I caught him. He should be in fucking jail. And so as soon as I looked into it, I saw that they were lying. This has been nothing but a fucking scam committed on. They should have been doing the Barrington Declaration. Now, what is the Barrington Declaration? A bunch of scientists, 60,000 scientists, signed onto a paper called the Barrington Declaration that said you shouldn't be locking down and vaccinating everybody. You should take the people who are the most vulnerable, elderly people, people who are obese, and people who have comorbidities. You should try to protect them, but you don't have to lock down the entire fucking world. People who are completely healthy and 20 years old don't need to take this, don't need to do that. That was the Barrington Declaration. You know why we didn't follow the Barrington Declaration? Because Dr. Fauci and Collins, who's the head of the NIH, they contacted their people, their toadies in the media, and said, write hit pieces on these scientists who came up with the Barrington Declaration, because one of them's a Nobel Prize winner and we got to discredit them before this catches on. Why? Because they had to make sure everybody got a vaccine because they are salesmen for the fucking Big Pharma, and they couldn't do the Barrington Declaration because it would cut into their fucking profits. That's why they fucking did that. And they slandered those people who were doctors from Yale and Harvard and Stanford, and they tried to make you think that they were fucking crazy instead of what they really were, the leading people in their fields, people from Johns Hopkins University. That's what they did. And and they lied. And as soon as I saw that, I knew this was all bullshit. And nobody will fucking wake up to this fact. They're still, well, nobody's getting their second booster, I'll tell you that. And so I think people are starting to catch on. And what kind of a vaccine do you take and then you still get the disease you got the vaccine for? Imagine if we all took the polio vaccine and in the same year we all got polio. I don't think I'd be like, hey, I think that vaccine doesn't fucking work that good. No, it's just supposed to lessen your symptoms. And we walk around with fucking polio go, oh, it's just lessening our symptoms. That's what the vaccine is. That's not what they're supposed to do. They had to change the definition of what a vaccine is. And right now, the booster that Fauci's trying to tell you to give to your fucking kids, that wasn't even tested on humans. Did you know they tested that booster on mice? You know how many mice? Eight fucking mice they tested it on. And now they're going to give it to you. You know who the real guinea pig is? You.
I wonder why they stopped at eight. They're like, okay, right? We're done. Eight, dude, I said five. Fuck. You're overdoing it. Okay, eight.
And the original vaccine trial data, they weren't going to release for 75 years. 75 years, Eddie. They're not going to release the vaccine trial data for 75 years, and I'm not supposed to ask questions? What's in that data you don't want me to see for 75 years? Did Pfizer kill Kennedy? What the fuck is going on? You can't let me see the data for 75 years. That is the end. And by the way, isn't it weird to see comedians, Eddie? Now, your heart and soul is in MMA, and you've invented a whole different way of fighting, so... But comedy's all I got. And it just breaks my heart to see comedians turn into fucking big pharma salesmen and shame people for trying to get informed about an experimental drug treatment that they're going to have to take or they can't go get or they're going to lose their job or they won't be able to travel and work. I've seen comedians do this on stage. Have you seen it? People, please tell me you're not going to do your own research about the vaccine. Do you know that's a half turn of the screw away from telling people to stop reading? That's what you're fucking doing. You're telling, that's like I woke up in the middle of a Bill Hicks bid. Oh my God, looks like we got ourselves a reader. Yeah, I'm gonna fucking read about the vaccine and an experimental fucking medical treatment I took, you idiot. And these people let other people do their thinking for them. I've seen people say that. Hey, smarter people than me have thought about these vaccines. Really? Why is it when you let other people do your thinking, it's always somebody like Bill Gates or Dr. Fauci, and it's never somebody like George Orwell?
You know, most or a large percentage of people that didn't even consider taking the vaccine were already anti-vax. You know, I'm anti-vax as fuck. The reason why there was, a group of people that didn't even consider it for a fucking second is because all this stuff that you're discovering about the COVID vaccine, you can make a documentary about that shit.
Everything your government has told you about this virus is a lie.
Trust the experts, trust the experts.
Are you afraid of the flu? Don't bother me. I mean, that's the reality of how people perceive flu. So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
Make sure you wear your mask at all times. Do your part. It is a federal crime. We catch you with that mask below your nose.
Don't ask questions.
Do what you are told. It is for your safety.
We have 33 confirmed positive tests.
COVID-19 in Thailand remains at 33.
33. 33.
33. 33.
33.
There were 33 confirmed cases in North Carolina.
33.
There was 33 everywhere. I think that was red team go. I think 33 is like red team go. Everybody goes, okay, let's do it. It's time.
89% until 94% of those PCR tests are false positive.
It doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you or anything like that.
Everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death.
We didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is.
This isn't going to be run on CNN for a week.
No flu to be found.
You got lied to. Who fell for this shit?
You've been patient.
but our patience is wearing thin.
Why are we being pressured to add COVID?
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You are correct. I should not be giving these vaccines at all.
You've been subject to propaganda and lies by people who are very well trained in how they do that.
Only one person in the entire state died from the flu.
So when you deny this stuff, or when you don't want to believe this stuff, you don't want to face reality, it's only hurting you.
They relied on people's ignorance.
Everybody sees what's going on. People woke up, man. They're not looking for anybody to save them. They're saving themselves.
There's your flu last year. Here's your flu this year. Literally doesn't even exist.
You could also do the same thing with every fucking vaccine. There's a story to every vaccine. There's a documentary to every vaccine. There's a documentary called Vaxxed. Blow your fucking mind. There's a documentary called The Greater Good. It'll blow your fucking mind. These are all like 10 years old. So anti-vaxxers, you know, anytime or like vax deniers or whatever, everyone, every single anti-vaxxer that's done their research, and it goes on for decades. If you go through the history, it's not like they just started lying right now. You got to go back and backtrack and go through fucking everything. If you look like polio, for instance, everyone thinks, well, what about polio? Polio, the polio vaccine has a documentary and it's a scam. I can explain the polio scam to you really quick.
I've seen that video, but and please do. But the interesting thing that I found out recently was that when the polio vaccine was first released, they fucked up. And they had
the first million doses had cancer.
Yes. I heard what I was told was that they were actually, they had a live version of the polio virus or something like that. It fucked people up. I don't know exactly, but I know people got fucked up because they did the vaccine wrong. And then go ahead.
In a nutshell, and I'm no expert, I've heard other people talk about this, and it just makes sense to me because they're just so full of shit that when you tell me something about a known liar and another lie that they told, I'm not going to fact check that much. I'm like, the guy's a known liar. It sounds like something he would do. He's fucking lied about everything else. Fucking makes sense. So the polio thing was, every year there was a certain amount of people dying of polio. I don't know what the number was, 100,000 a year, whatever, 60,000, 100,000, whatever. There was a problem, they created the problem. But there were many different levels of polio. There was polio where you got sick and you had like the flu. Now they called that polio. And then for 1 week. And then there was a polio where you got sick for 2 weeks. And then there was a polio that you had, you got temporary paralysis for a month and then you healed. And then there was a level of polio where you had a paralysis for a couple months and then you healed. And then there was polio where you had permanent paralysis. And then there was polio where you died. There was all these different levels of polio. So they started the March of Dimes. March of Dimes, that went on for 10 years. They went 10 years of March of Dimes, collecting money, raising money. We need to stop polio, help stop polio.
And there are a lot of parents whose children are healthy and happy now who live in fear. I know I do. The fear, my friends, is polio, infantile paralysis.
Polio is no respecter of people. The rich, the poor, the strong, the weak, no one is immune.
But soon, perhaps within a year, there may be a vaccine. A vaccine available to all that may be the answer.
That's right. There is a trial vaccine now being tested.
Give every dime and dollar that you can spare to the 1954 March of Dimes.
And then after 10 years, when the jab came out, that year they redefined all the levels. Like, okay, this polio is going to be called Guillain-Barré disease. This one's going to be called meningitis. So then they created all these different names for all the different types of polio, and only counted polio as the one where you get paralysis and die. And then that same year, so by the stroke of a pen, they eliminated polio.
So you're saying they changed the definition and that's how they get rid of it?
Yeah. So then that year, like, oh, it's gone. Dude, you just renamed all the different levels. So that's how they do it. They do it. That's how it's just everything's a scam. Did you know that in 1986, the Ronald Reagan administration, they signed, I think it's called what they did is Big Pharma was going to stop making vaccines because it just wasn't worth it. They were getting sued too much. In the 80s, they were just like, it's just not worth it. We're just going to stick to pills and opiates and stuff. Vaccines were just, they were just getting sued too much from injuries, vaccine injuries. So, but then the government steps in and go, no. Keep making them. We'll make you immune to the lawsuits. And Big Pharma was like, for real? Like, you could do that? I go, we could do anything we want. So in 1986, that's when a Big Pharma became immune to a vaccine injury lawsuits. So back then, if I'm sure you remember, they were giving out like three vaccines to kids, like three or four or something.
Right.
And then once that bill passed, they greenlit everything. They're like, fuck that. If we're not going to get sued, they greenlit everything. They're coming up with vaccines for everything. Hepatitis B and all the shit. Oh, They give, oh man, I know I just had a guest, my last guest on my podcast. We weren't even talking about vaccine injuries, but she talked about how she took the HPV vaccine and it fucked her up. She had a stroke. So every vaccine has some dangerous shit with it, you know? So the COVID-19 vaccine, it wasn't a shock. It was like business as usual. Like, that's why there was so many people refusing to take it. It wasn't just from the current bullshit that they were spewing, but the bullshit they've been spewing for the last 50 years. So like, oh, you're going to come up with a vaccine now? And all of a sudden what is this? When the initial data came out, about the scamdemic, they're like, at first it was like, everyone's gonna drop. Everyone's just gonna look at the videos from China. People are just dropping and they're putting white sheets over them, and guys with hazmat suits are gonna fucking put them in. Oh my God, it's gonna happen here. People are gonna be done. We need to shut all our business. Everybody just shut down. Everyone's shutting down. You couldn't go to the beach. Oh my God, shut down everything. And then when the first initial data came in, they go, you know what? Average age of people dying from this is 81 with four comorbidities. Then it all of a sudden, when people are like, wait a minute, that sounds like flu numbers. That sounds like, isn't that the same thing for the flu? Like, everybody knows that the flu takes out people with cancer. The flu takes out a week old, fat people. Everybody knows that. But the death certificate, they don't put flu or they don't put pneumonia. They put cancer, diabetes, whatever, heart attack. They don't put what actually took them out, which is influenza, pneumonia. So once that came out, that it was average age 81. That's higher than the average age of people living in the United States, which is like 78, 79. Like, what that's the right. fuck? So then all of a sudden they shame you. They go, oh, you don't care about old people.
Yeah.
You don't care about old people. What about your grandma? You have your aunt is 70. You don't care about her? Like, all of a sudden, you care about old people now? You never cared about old people ever.
I know.
The government never cared about old people ever. And now you care about fucking old people.
By the way, the government doesn't care about people, period, Eddie.
Exactly. Exactly.
They didn't give us a vaccine because the government cares about us. They gave us a vaccine because the people who fucking own the government were going to make $100 billion off it. And that's why they mandated it, fired 70,000 healthcare workers in the middle of a pandemic, and they fucking wouldn't let us travel because of it.
This is prison guard. All right. Whether I sweep them, whether I put this butterfly in here and sweep them, I shuck, squeeze, gift wrap, and boom, and now I'm on his back. Maybe I sweep them the other way. Maybe I put this butterfly in here. Have him let go of the double arms and let him shoot this through. Boom! And then I go, bam! Look where we're at. Boom! A shoulder crunch attempt is probably, like all sweeps, 20% at best success. But doing it from here, if it doesn't work, I still got him. I used to go here, boom, and then come here and come up this way. That's what I usually do. All that is prison guard, all right? It's all off homie control. Homie control, again, is like the mission control of prison guard. When it comes to Big Pharma, to me, they're mostly all about the money, you know? So Big Pharma not trying to like cure anybody or help. It seems like the way they're pushing this on the children, after all the shit that came out, 1,200 adverse effects, all the shit, all these people dying of heart attacks and climate change is causing heart attacks, all this shit. And then all this shit's out. And then guess what? We got a new fucking vaccine for kids. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, obviously, Big Pharma, it's even more than they don't really give a fuck about our health. It's not about our health. It's more about, damn, they want to fuck you up for more money. So if they could inject you with something that causes your organs to fail, even over time, it's like they don't want you to die. Because if you're dead, they make no money. But if they can get you and have your organs fail and have you come up with these fucking diseases where you need their pills for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
They're like, cha-ching, cha-ching. So to me, that's what Big Pharma is. And you know, when people die, they don't give a fuck. They want to hurt you. So if you die, they're like, oh, we didn't want you to die, but people are going to die. Because if we're going to go out there and we're going to hurt motherfuckers with this, we know there's going to be people that die. They're not going to be able to take it. Old people with comorbidities, they're all fucked up and obese. Yeah, they're going to die. We don't want them to die. We'd rather have them fucked up, to tell you the truth. But But when it comes to the government, if Big Pharma was about to bail on vaccine, they're about to bail, and then the government said, no, we'll handle it. We'll handle it. That tells me that the government wants the vaccines for other reasons. They don't want it for the money, because the government's not making the money. Big Pharma's making the money. So why does the government want to hurt us? Why? That's the question.
I don't know that they... They want to hurt us or don't. I don't think they care. I think they're agnostic on what happens to people. They don't give a fuck.
They don't.
They just operate at the whatever their donors tell them to do. So I think that back then in the 80s, what happened was Big Pharma got the government to give them fucking indemnity or impunity from prosecution or lawsuits. And so they gave the money to the politicians. Politicians passed the law, and now they get to make fucking vaccines and make all that money.
It just seems so insane. Like, a manufacturer of anything, if someone gets hurt using a product that some citizen purchased, anybody could get sued.
That's right.
But for this, you can't.
I can sue if I spill coffee on my vagina, Eddie.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. God forbid. But now, what do you think about the people that say, there's got to be multiple reasons. Obviously, money is huge. Money. But obviously, all this shit isn't about our health. The whole scamdemic, there's nothing about it that was about our health. Like locking down, putting face masks, that wasn't about our health. None of that was about our health, because if it was about our health, if they really did care about our health, they would have shut down all fast food and made and then shut down like production of like candy,
right?
Right. If it was about our health, you're willing to crush the economy because you care about our health so much. Our health is so important to you that you're willing to destroy the world economy. But let's keep Jack in the Box and McDonald's open. Poor people need it too.
If it was about healthcare, they would have given us healthcare. They didn't. They gave us a fucking vaccine.
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't shut down any. How easy? We found out, man. It's pretty fucking easy to shut down businesses. And the type of businesses. Like one day, Gavin Newsom said, you know what? Restaurants, movie theaters, they like name them barbershops, gyms. They got a list.
The sectors that we're closing stay wide. Again, restaurants, wineries, movie theaters, family entertainment, zoos, museums, card rooms, and bars to outdoor activities to the extent possible. Now, with counties on the monitoring list, we have this list. Fitness centers, places of worship, offices for non-critical sectors, personal care services, that includes hair salons, barbershops, and indoor malls. So again, these are sectors to close indoor operations.
And they fuck, he tweets it. He could tweet that shit. And then boom, that's law. That's law. You couldn't add fast food restaurants, including McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Carl's Jr., y'all's were going to be closed too. They could have added that. They could have closed fast food down so easy. It would have been just one tweet from Gavin Newsom and it's done. But they didn't even consider that shit. They closed gyms down. They closed gyms down. And how are there still any obese people? I have no problem with obese people. I have close friends that are obese, but I don't want to hear shit from you. It's been 2 years and you're still obese? Don't tell me you believe this shit. Don't tell me you believe, you still believe this shit. Why are you still fat? You better be totally against it, because there's no, why, there shouldn't be any fat people that believe this is real.
It's not good if you're obese, if you catch it, or if you're elderly with four comorbidities, you don't want it. But everybody else should have been allowed to make their own fucking decisions about how they handled it. And you know what? I just want to push back or just bring it up. You were talking about the poll. That was interesting. I had never heard that point of view about the vaccine. The polio
scams back. Everywhere. Scams everywhere.
But nobody gets polio anymore. I was going to say that.
People get polio.
But
people
now,
see, that's another scam. People think there's polio got wiped out. Polio didn't get wiped out. They just don't blow it up.
Well, now
polio is still around, just like it's always been.
In New York, it's coming back in New York. Did you see they said it was a state of emergency because so many people have fucking polio in New York?
I don't know what the fuck to believe. I mean,
neither. I don't know what the fuck to believe, too. I'm like, is this a scam? Are they making this up? I swear to God, that's how far I am now after all these COVID lies for 2.5 straight fucking years. I don't believe a goddamn thing they say.
Now, what do you think about the people that say part of the reason they pushed the scamdemic so hard was to scare people into not voting in person, and so that they could mail out millions and millions of ballots to ballot harvest and steal the election? What do you think about that?
You know, I didn't follow the ballot harvesting thing.
Have you seen 2,000 Mules?
I did not see 2,000 Mules.
You got to watch that shit. It's my fucking mind-numbing.
I haven't seen it. I'll take a look at it. But my focus has been debunking Russiagate. My focus has been debunking the Ukraine war, the Syrian war, Yemen. Mine has been debunking fucking Medicare for All and the bullshit squad and the Democrats and the idea that we have two parties in this country. That's the focus of my show. And the thing that scares the establishment more than anything is if people on the left and the right come together and realize that they actually have a common enemy. And when I interviewed a Boogaloo boy on my show, they immediately, the shit libs and the establishment melted down because that's threatening to them, because we share common interests. And a Boogaloo boy is not a Proud Boy. And that's what people wanted you to think. They went, oh, Jimmy Dore's interviewing Proud Boys. No, I was with a Boogaloo boy, which was created in response to the Proud Boys. The Boogaloo boys were not racist. They were pro-LGBTQ. They're anti-cop, anti-war, and anti-Trump. And so people wanted to conflate Proud Boys and Boogaloo Boys because they wanted to smear me, because the last thing the establishment can have is someone like me on the left coming together with someone like them on the right to fight our common enemy, which is the fucking establishment. And so that's why hit pieces got written about me in the New York Magazine and Newsweek. And I trended on Twitter for fucking almost a week. So that's the bullshit that's that's what scares them. And so that's the focus of my show. And, you know, in 2016, the Democrats didn't accept the election. They said it was overthrown by Putin, and they said it was overthrown by Russia, and that Trump was an illegitimate president. That's a direct quote from Hillary Clinton. And so they didn't accept the election results. But then when Donald Trump lost, he didn't accept them either. But when he did it, it's illegal. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, totally. There's so much video of them claiming the 2016 election was fraudulent. There's so much. But if you say it now, it's like saying you're an enemy Holocaust of denier. It's like you're a Holocaust denier if you mention that shit.
Well, Joe Biden in his speech with the red all around him, he was saying that if you deny this election, or if you think this election was stolen, or if you don't think it was legitimate, you're an enemy of democracy. He was saying you are our enemy. You know who does that? Hitler does that. Lenin Biden does that. Pol Pot does that. He says that their political enemies are the enemies of our country. You're not supposed to do that. That's what Joe Biden did. He's doing everything they said fucking Trump was supposed to do. Joe Biden is doing it. He's deporting way more Hispanics than Trump did. He's starting two nuclear wars with China and fucking Russia. That's what I was supposed to be afraid. And he's calling anybody who's his political enemy a fucking enemy of our country and democracy. Yeah. That's fascism.
Yeah, when I've been considered a conspiracy theorist for a few decades, and it really got kicked off really with in the 90s. I didn't pay attention that much. But I paid attention to George Bush Sr. and his son. And I was, you know, and then you look into the Clintons and what they've done. So I'm thinking, okay, George Sr., Republican as fuck, with his son, Republican as fuck. And then and then Bill Clinton and Hillary, they're Democrat as fuck. And they're all demons. So I just lost all faith in government, really. So I would be a conspiracy theorist that would just focus on not current events, because like whoever was running for president, I was like, they're all fucking demons. But I would focus on like JFK, the assassination, and Iran-Contra, and the Bill Clinton and MENA, Arkansas, and all the drugs that were going through MENA, Arkansas. I was paying attention to that. Wasn't paying attention to local politics at all. So when George W., to me, he was a demon. I right away, 9/11 was an inside job. Tower 7, no plane hit that. What the fuck happened there? Well, that kind of shit. And then, Obama got in, and then Mitt Romney and John McCain. I'm like, fuck all these people. And then I wasn't paying attention to current politics. I was just into it's just all into Tower 7, JFK, and UFOs and shit. And then you hear, I remember Joe saying, you know, Donald Trump's running for president. And I never really paid attention to Donald Trump at all. All I knew about him was he had Tyson fights, and he would always have Tyson fights. That's that one billionaire who bangs hot models. Okay. He was on Howard Stern a couple times. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he's a billionaire, a model wife, Tyson's buddy. He's promoting Taj Mahal. I never watched The Apprentice, whatever that show was. I never watched Let's Make a Deal, whatever the fuck he did. I never seen any of that shit. I never paid attention to him. And then Joe said, dude, you know, fuck, dude, the fucking country's going to shit. Donald Trump's running for president. He might win the Republican primary or whatever, or nominee or whatever. And I was like, oh. And I was just thinking, yeah, the country's going to shit. Of course a guy like that is like, whatever, you know, of course. Didn't pay attention to it. And then when he was, trying to get that Republican spot, he's like bagging on Jeb Bush, and every now and then something would come up. And I'm like, that was kind of cool. But then I would like, yeah, they're all crooks, you know, they're all crooks, whatever. And then Joe's like, dude, it's going to be him. It's going to be between him and Hillary. And dude, people love Trump. I'm like, what? What the fuck's wrong with this country? What? I'm like, and then I'm Mexican. I come from a giant Mexican family, and my Mexican relatives are like, fuck Trump. He's racist. He's racist. He's talking shit on Mexicans. I'm like, damn, really? He's racist? Shit. Okay. You know, and I didn't pay attention. I'm like, okay, I just believe it. He's racist. He hates Mexicans, and he's a crazy fucking billionaire. The country's going to shit. And then I heard him call out the fake news. I saw a clip. He's like, you guys are fake news. CNN, you guys are fake news. You guys know you're fake news. I'm like, damn. He's calling, of course CNN's fake news, of course. But like to hear the guy running for president saying that, that's insane. Like, what is going? So then I started paying attention. I'm like, damn, why is he calling them fake news? And then all these hit pieces start coming out. And then he wins. I'm like, after he wins, I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, okay, what did he say about Mexicans? How the fuck did he win if he hates Mexicans? No way he won. So I'm like, I'm looking for this fucking clip where he's talking shit on Mexicans. And then it turns fucking out. CNN doctored that motherfucking thing. He wasn't talking about Mexican. People believe Mexicans. my family thing, he said the Mexicans are rapists and criminals. He was talking about the rapists and criminals coming through the border. That's why I wanted to build the wall, so that you can't just let fucking people walk. That's common sense. You can't just let people just, if you're if your family and you're running from an oppressive state and you got children, fuck yeah, come on. We just gotta, let me look at your ID. Okay, you guys are cool, you know, but we can't let like everybody in. We gotta vet out the criminals, MS-13, all that shit. Like, that's common sense. So I'm like, oh shit, CNN did him fucking dirty. And all of a sudden, everyone's calling him a Russian agent. I bet he's not a Russian agent. They're going after this motherfucker. And then that's when I started paying attention. I'm like, why are they going after this motherfucker? They're giving him the worst shit right out the gate. Day one, right out the gate. You're a Russian agent? I have close friends that were like, dude, Trump's a psychopath. He's a Nazi psychopath, and he's working for Russia. Like, people that I know, I'm like, I think they're framing this motherfucker. For some reason, they don't want this motherfucker in. They're going after him. And he keeps calling these motherfuckers fake news. I love that shit. He had me at fake news. So I'm like, wait a minute. Can you imagine Bill Clinton saying, fuck you, you're fake news? I like that shit talk, because I was so sick of the smooth talking, super eloquent Bill Clinton and Obama. They're saying all the right things, but they don't mean shit, because there's plenty of video of Obama and all the Democrats saying some common sense shit, because they know common sense is, yes, we need to secure the border. Too much fucking crime coming through those unsecure borders. Of course, common sense. You can't. Yeah, well, if you're a family, you got kids, and you're trying to start a new life, and you're oppressed, yes, we'll take all you motherfuckers. But criminals and child trafficking and organ harvesting, drug running, gun running, we got to control that, okay? Common sense. So they were all saying that. Obama, the Clintons were saying that. But you know what? They knew people wanted to hear it, and they were going to get money for it, but they weren't going to do anything. They were just going to steal the money. There's a documentary called The Fence. It was about the wall already being green lit. The wall was already green lit in like 2005, 2006. They just stole all the money. Once they passed the bill, they just never brought it up. Not a peep. They got the money. Money disappeared. There's a documentary. They never finished it. Just little bits and pieces. They were all for secure borders. Obama's like all about secure borders.
Sanders was about. Can I tell you something, Eddie? That here's a thing that's kind of ironic. Is, well, when I said, the reason these are connected, the reason why they don't like Trump, you keep saying, why don't they like Trump? What is it about? Well, Trump puts a bad face on the empire, on the establishment. And so like Trump says shit like, we're going to stay in Syria for the oil. No, you can't say that, idiot. You're supposed to say democracy, but he just says it. And so that's that. And then their game is blown. And so when Trump bans Muslims at the airport, immigrants, people become aware that our government has been bombing the shit out of fucking Muslims for the last 8 years. They didn't know it until Trump banned the immigrants at the airport. And then they said it was racist. And I'm like, yeah, but Obama's been bombing them for 8 years. Isn't that racist?
Exactly.
And then when Trump became president, the local municipalities became aware of our immigration policy and that we were putting kids in cages. Barack Obama and Joe Biden built those cages, but we didn't know about it until Trump did it. And so when Trump did it, everybody became aware. And now we know that fucking Barack Obama and Joe Biden actually deported almost twice as many as Hispanics as fucking Trump did in his first term. Why? Because people became aware of what our government was doing because Trump was doing it, and he put an ugly face on it, and so they had to stop doing it. So do you see what I'm getting at? So Trump was gassing immigrants at the border, and then I found out that fucking Barack Obama gassed immigrants at the border, and I guess they should be honored that they were gassed by the lesser of two evils. So that's why they don't like Donald Trump. Didn't govern any differently than the rest of those motherfuckers, but they just had to get rid of him because he didn't come up inside the two-party system, which is completely owned by the oligarchs. And so he was one of them who used to bribe them, and so that's why they couldn't couldn't have the they couldn't have him for those two reasons. He didn't come up, and they couldn't control him as much as they could. So that's why they had to do Russiagate, and they had to make people think he was a traitor to our country, and they had to red bait him and every one of his fucking cronies. Why? Because they couldn't control him, and the government and the two-party system is so corrupt, and people are so sick of the two-party system that they're fucking willing to vote for a game show host who's a political novice because that's how desperate they were. If you want to know why Donald Trump got elected, it wasn't because of a bunch of racists all of a sudden moved to America and decided to vote for Donald Trump. The fucking Republicans have been doing the Southern strategy since fucking Nixon. And what is the Southern strategy? That's a racist strategy to get racists to vote for you. And everybody knows about it. It's not a secret. Three out of the last four Republican National Committee chair people fucking apologized for it. So, but they want to pretend like Donald Trump got elected because of racism, because if they told you the truth was because the two-party system is so corrupted, people are fucking desperate enough to vote for a clown like that. That's the truth. So they have to make you think it's Russia. They have to make you think it's racism. They have to make you think it's anything except what it actually fucking is. It's the breakdown of our fucking country because it's completely corrupted.
Have you ever listened to any of like a Trump rally in its entirety? Have you ever,
I went
like,
to a Trump to a rally. It was, I went to a Trump rally. It was pretty gross. I went to a Trump rally in Irvine, and he starts off by when the one I went to, he had immigrants come up on stage and talk about how, he had people who were crime victims of immigrants come on stage. And I get we got to have borders, and I get we got it, but it was just very race baity, and I didn't like it. And it got gross, actually. It kind of made me feel like I needed a shower. And I felt like his rally wasn't.
When was that? When was that, though? How long ago was that?
So that was before he was president. When he was running for president. And okay. It didn't feel like when I would go to a Bernie Sanders rally, he had anger at the establishment. Right. And he had a plan to fix it that uplifted everybody and brought people together. Donald Trump didn't have he had anger. He had some anger at the establishment, which is what people like. But then he also had he punched down and he had anger at the people who had no money and no power. And he wanted you to blame immigrants for your problem. I understand we need to have a border. I don't like that we scapegoat the powerless for our problems. What I try to tell people is if you lost your job to an immigrant, that's not because an immigrant took your job. That's because a capitalist found somebody who's in a more desperate situation than you are. And well, he can exploit even harder. So you guys are both being exploited and fucked by the same person. You should figure out a way to join with those people to fight back. So I did go to that. So I have a pretty... I'm not easily pigeonholed. People try to say I'm a Trumper. I'm far from a fucking Trumper. People try to say that I'm a Democrat. I'm far from a Democrat. I don't even fucking go along with Bernie Sanders anymore because he turned his back on his own fucking movement. I'm still for the same policies that Bernie Sanders pretends he's for, but Bernie Sanders will do nothing to fight for those. And he will roll over and fuck over Americans for his position in the oligarchy, which is exactly what he did. Bernie Sanders is a fucking cuck of all cucks, a coward of all cowards, and a fucking pussy.
Oh, man. I was just about to ask you if you were still into Bernie. That was the question I was waiting to like stick in. As soon as you were done, I was about to drop it, but you answered that for me.
He sold out to the fucking establishment. He demanded nothing.
Maybe he was a sellout the whole time.
He's been a sellout his whole fucking career. He rolls over for the Democratic Party all the time. And
I believe it's all this shit that makes no sense. The scamdemic is just a piece of it. I think all of this is more than just profits for vaccines. I think there's a New World Order agenda, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, one world, communists, destroy the family. Have you ever heard of a guy named Yuri Bezmenov?
So is that Klaus Schwab's right hand man?
No, Yuri Bezmenov. He was Joe played a video of his on his podcast, but he's a KGB defector, former KGB agent, Russian defector, lived in Canada, and he was trying to explain to everybody how the Russians infiltrate and countries from within and the process and how it goes. I was trying to get Joe into this, like to listen to this guy for years. And for a while there, Joe, just like his head was in other spots. And then he sends me this. He goes, you got to listen to this guy. Send me the link. I go, dude, that's the guy that I tried to get you to listen to 5 years ago.
He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system. And he did this at great risk to his life.
This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth. To destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with the benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of the subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrades. It's the same pattern everywhere. The time bomb is ticking with every second.
But he basically breaks it down. Like it's more than just big farmers making the money. They like the profits, but the government don't give a fuck about that. It's all, everything that's being done is all part of it. All gets, it's, there's so many bits and pieces to one world government. They're trying to make a one world government. That's what the scamdemic and the vaccine. You need shit. I mean, they talk about this in the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, Davos. This is what they talk about. What's the easiest way to control these motherfuckers? That's what these meetings are about. Henry Kissinger, all that shit. Klaus Schwab, they're talking about now with technology, we can control the masses like this and like this and vaccine passport and boom. And if they say anything, boom, we turn off their bank account. We turn their car off. Boom. We lock them down. Boom. They're getting efficient with locking down. And the government's about control.
And if you question any of that, you're a white supremacist. That's what's happened in this
exactly.
country.
Exactly. That's part of it. Part of it. Controlling the narrative and censorship is part of, you can't, it's part of one world government.
And discrediting dissent.
Do you remember that video? I mean, people, every now and then you bring up New World Order and people think you're fucking crazy. But you know that George Bush Sr. talk about New World Order all the time.
All the time, yeah. So
this is not fantasy. That's what's going on. That's what's going on right now. We are right in the middle. We're in the transition. It's the only thing that explains this insanity. We're in the transition to New World Order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
When I would talk about it to people, I love people would say, Jimmy, you really think that people, the rulers of the world get together in a room and plan everything out? I go, Yes.
They actually do.
They go, where do you think that room is? I go, you know what? That's called a fucking session of Congress. Those motherfuckers all work for the fucking oligarchy, and they're there. They're legislating, not on behalf of fucking us, idiot. They're doing the bidding of the fucking oligarchs, which was proven by Princeton already, that our vote has no effect, none effect, no effect on legislation. And the only people's vote that matters is the upper 10% of fucking wealthy people in the world. That's all that matters. They have meetings. It's called the Bilderbergs. It's called the fucking Davos, just like you laid it out.
Exactly.
It's called the World Economic Forum.
What Klaus Schwab.
Do you think they're getting together to plan fucking weddings? They're getting together to plan how to run the world.
They wrote a book about it. It's called The Great Reset. Klaus Schwab got a book called The Great, This Is How We Gonna Do It. That you're gonna eat bugs? All that bug shit? That we're in the middle. We're in the process. It doesn't happen overnight. We're actually in the process of the New World Order. But I believe there is a counter. There's a counter going on. I believe that there are good people in government. There are. You just got to listen to them. Listen to them. Because we know who the demons are for sure. But the good ones, we don't know if they're for real or not. Are they bullshit? Are they just saying the right things? But we don't. There's people we don't know. Shit, I hope they're telling the... Like, I hope, Ron DeSantis isn't full of shit. I like the shit he's saying. I like freedom. I like First Amendment. I like Second Amendment. I'm not a Republican. I want freedom of speech. I don't want to get censored. And I want to have a gun to protect my son. Okay? So shut the fuck up about any of that shit. Convince me by giving up my gun is going to make my family safer. If you could convince me of that, then I'll give up my gun. But it's impossible. I have a gun to protect my family. During the fucking riots, I thought, you know what? The one good thing, there's going to be one good thing out of these fucking riots. I don't ever want to fucking hear anything about gun control after these fucking riots. Because all my liberal friends, and I have a bunch, they were like, how do I get a gun? Everybody wanted a fucking gun during the riots. And I was like, at least. And then we saw what happened in Australia and Canada, where they just got totalitarianismed. They just fucking got boom, 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 because they didn't have any guns. They couldn't do it here. You ain't going to do that in Texas. You ain't going to do Melbourne in Dallas. That ain't going to happen. You ain't going to do that shit in Florida. But you know what? You can do it in fucking Canada. A bunch of fucking pussies up there. You could do that. I mean, they did. Dude, that Justin Trudeau fucking dough. That guy's doing it. That guy is like, he's... I bet deep down inside he fucking worships Hitler or something. Because that guy is just a fucking tyrant. And ain't nobody can do anything about it.
He's just doing the bidding of his owners. And that's all he's doing. His owners tell him, you fucking shut down their bank accounts. You better stop this fucking protest. And his owners.
That's what they want here. That's what they're trying to do here.
I know.
They're trying to do it here. So it's not just about vaccine money. The vaccines are just a part. They talk about this. They got a list. The list is you got to scare these motherfuckers with shit only the government can save you from. They're going to scare us with asteroids. They're going to scare us with terrorism. It's all shit. The climate change, that's part of the new world order. That's part of the new world order.
Isn't it wild to see them use climate change to fucking decimate farmers and take away their farmland?
New world order, you got to control.
It's like, they're not going to get... Those farms are still going to grow food. They're just going to be owned by a fucking multi-billion-dollar corporation. That they're just getting rid of. So if they can control the food supply, they control you. And that seems to be what the fuck is happening. And people just seem to be letting it go happen. It's just
we know the New World Order is real. We know it's real because George Bush Sr., he's the quarterback. He talked about it. Even Clinton even mentioned New World Order. They all have. But nobody talked about it like George Senior. He did that State of the Union address. He said, listen, it's time for the New World Order. Fuck, it's no more lawlessness. We're going to keep y'all in check. New World Order, it's the time. Now is the time. He said that shit in so many words. But he said that shit. So that's real. New World Order is real. So if the New World Order is real, they must be having meetings. And if they're having meetings, they must be bringing up the best ways to control the masses. That's what New World Order is Death Star. And of course, like the three laws, control energy, control food, and control, what's the third one? Water, of course. To think they're not putting shit in the water? What kind of new world order are you? You ain't putting shit in the water? Dude, if I was running Illuminati, deep state, and I found out, I would just assume y'alls were putting shit in the water. If I found out you weren't, there'd be people being hung in closets and shit. There'd be people thrown off skyscrapers.
You ever do DMT?
And like, of course they're controlling the food. You have to. You can't have new world order if you don't control the food. That's why they demonize self-sufficient people. They demonize, it's like the hillbillies. They demonize hillbillies. Like, hillbillies don't eat shit. They're out there. They got their own animals, their livestock. They grow their own food. They got shotguns if you want to fuck with their family. They're all about family oriented, but it's demonized. That Hollywood demonizes that. If Hollywood isn't controlled by the New World Order, that's a big fuck up. New World Order, of course you control entertainment. Of course you control entertainment. Why wouldn't the New World Order control? That's why you're seeing all these demons on the fuck in from Hollywood. Like, disgusting. The music business, disgusting. The music business, disgusting. Most of them. Some of them are cool. I don't even like Kid Rock music. But Kid Rock, shit, I love that motherfucker. You know what I mean? Kid, I love that, what he's saying.
We the people, and all we do, reserve the right to scream, fuck you! Wear your mask, take your pills, now a whole generation's mentally ill!
I'm not a country hick, white guy, I'm a Mexican guy, but I'm into common sense. And when there's people out there preaching First Amendment, and it's very important to them, Second Amendment, it's very important. They just happen to be on the right all the time. Like, I don't give a fuck about Republicans, but why are all the people speaking common sense? Like, to me, Ron DeSantis is common sense. It's just nothing but common sense coming out. That's common sense. Yeah, I don't want you teaching my fucking kid about drag shows. What? Drag shows? For my kid? Of common sense. Ban that shit from the fucking school. I don't want you talking to my kids at school about fucking binary they, them. Get that shit out of here. I don't want you talking to my kids about that shit. That's common sense. So when Ron DeSantis comes out and says that, then the fucking demons call it, oh, it's the end of the just don't say gay bill or something. They called it some bullshit. That's like how dumb are you that you don't see that? You don't see that on the streets? That shit won't fly on the streets. On the streets, any kind of shit like that, you get stomped. You get stabbed. You don't.
So that's how bad the Democratic Party has gotten. That they can make, I'm not a fan of DeSantis, but they can make him look appealing to people who care about issues like First Amendment. And that's how bad the Democrats.
It's horrible. It's insane. It's almost like they're trying to get fired. Their meetings are like, what is the dumbest shit we can do? And they're just like, the dumbest shit. How about we fucking just pull out of Afghanistan and leave all the Americans? We'll leave all the fucking equipment there. How much equipment? $80 billion. Yes. $80 billion. Fuck yeah. We just leave it there. We'll just say we forgot it. Yes. We just forgot it. And they got people believing that they would leave $80 billion worth of military. You're just going to fucking leave it? You don't think anybody got anything for that? You don't think there was any kind of sales going on? You think they're just going to leave it? You think the demons are just going to leave? You don't think they're gonna get something out of it? You know what I mean?
But they are. But just like the $54 billion, now up to $70 billion, that they gave to Ukraine, the point isn't to help arm the Ukraine so they can win that war. That's never going to happen. And they don't. And 70% of the arms never fucking reach the front lines. The point is to get those sales so they can get that money grifted through the security state. And so as soon as they get their money, then it doesn't matter. The job has been done, which is why you see them starting to throw Zelensky under the fucking bus.
What is it about DeSantis that you don't like? What has he said? What policies? I'm missing it, because to me, every time I hear him, I'm just like, okay, that's common sense. Okay.
Well, I think the way he handled COVID I think the way he handled COVID was much better than other people, which is which also is something that makes him attractive to people, because he seemed to have a sane and rational approach to
COVID.
Yeah,
common sense. Yeah. I'm not Republican. I've never voted in my life.
Me either. I never voted Republican, but he gave people monoclonals, right?
Yeah, common sense.
Which it seemed like a lot of the governors who were Democrats didn't want to give to their people because Big Pharma didn't want them to know that there was a treatment. They wanted everybody to get vaccinated. And if people thought there was a treatment, which there is, they wouldn't get vaccinated. So they didn't. And then fucking Joe Biden cut the amount of monoclonals that the federal government has to make them and then they have to send them out. And he cut them in half, giving it to Florida. But and he said, we have to give it to other states. Well, other states weren't giving it to their fucking people. So I think that but what I disagree with DeSantis on is that I don't know a lot about him, but what I do know about him is that he wanted to shut down people protesting against politicians, right? You couldn't go to their house, stuff like that, right? He did that.
I think I'm not sure, but I think there is a demonic left way to spin what he actually was doing. That's what I think it is. Is if you look into it, I bet whatever they're accusing him of, it's all twisted, because that's all they do. They just twist shit. If you listen to the guy talk, I listen to him talk. I don't know if he's Italian. I'm not Italian. I don't give a fuck about Republican, white, or whatever. I'm like, the guy makes sense to me. I'm like, I like this guy.
I hear what you're saying.
No wonder people love him. No wonder people like, oh yeah, common sense. I like common sense.
So anyway, this is from his website. Governor Ron DeSantis protects Floridians from protests outside their homes. Today, Governor Ron DeSantis signed HB 1571, which prohibits picketing and protesting outside a person's place of rest.
So, I don't have a problem with that.
I do. I like
that. Maybe you do, but that's like so a non-issue. You know,
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? I don't want no one protesting in front of my motherfucking house. You want people protesting in front of your house? It's kind of scary. It's like dangerous. People.
If I had power,
and they know where you live.
If I was the governor, or if I was a powerful person, then I had to be accountable to my fucking people. Yes, but I've been to protests at politicians' houses.
No, but check this out. But then you could abuse that very, very easily. Very easy. You could take fucking Antifa and send them to fucking politicians that are trying to do the right thing. And they'll turn on politics. That's why politicians are afraid to do the right thing, because they're going to have Antifa sent to their house.
That's not good. That's all a bunch of FBI plans. Fucking
exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That's even worse, right?
They're all infiltrated. That Antifa's one big fucking.
And the January 6th thing wasn't. What's the whole Ray Epps thing? Are you familiar with Ray Epps?
Ray Epps was a fucking FBI plant instigator, 100%.
What? How is this, like, the crazy thing is, you know this, people know this, but there's a lot of people that don't know it. They have no idea.
You should see the congressional testimony. They had the second person in command at the FBI, and they were asking them, who's Ray Epps? They're like, I can't say who Ray Epps is. Well, yeah. What the fuck?
Exactly.
I know why you can't say, and I know why you can't fucking prize. There's videotape of him instigating riots, telling people we got to go in, and that guy didn't get arrested, and that everybody knows what's going on. So half the people were let in by the cops who opened
it. Yeah, there's video. They're letting him in. On the streets with that evidence, you would get slaughtered. Your whole family would get slaughtered. They would cut you up into little bits. They would put you in suitcases and send those suitcases to members of your family. That's what they would do with that kind of evidence, that level of evidence.
Are you kidding me? But they have this January 6th show trial, and that's all it is. They want you to think about January 6th and that somebody is threatening our democracy. But they don't want you to think about how they're not giving you health care. They don't want you to think about how they're sending $54 billion to Ukraine while there's homeless people under every bridge. They don't want you to think about how Joe Biden isn't going to give you a minimum wage. They don't want you to think about how they're not going to get this is what they want you to be distracted by, this show trial. And why is it a show trial? Because Donald Trump ain't going to fucking prison over January 6th. We all fucking know that. And they don't even interview the people people who are fucking directly involved. They didn't interview the Secret Service. They interviewed Cassidy Hutchinson. Why do you think they interviewed Cassidy Hutchinson, who wasn't there with Trump on January 6th, but she overheard a story that the Secret Service told? Why did they interview her instead of the Secret Service? Because she was going to tell a fucking made up story and the Secret Service wasn't going to tell that story. So that's why it's a show trial. And even if everything that Cassidy Hutchinson said about Trump's actions on January 6th, let's say it's true, how does it change your opinion of Trump one fucking bit? He lunged for the wheel. Oh, I thought I knew him. He threw ketchup on the wall. How can I live in this country?
Dude, they're going after. They've been this whole time. They've been giving Trump fucking everything. They've just been hammering him with the worst possible shit. Russian agent. Worst possible shit. You know, he's racist.
And then
he's a rapist. They try to get him on rape. They're just getting him on. They threw everything and they're still going hard. Insurrectionist. They want him the fuck out. He's not even in politics anymore and they're still going after him.
That's because they know they're so corrupt that people aren't going to vote for them if given a chance. And the Republicans wouldn't be able to beat Trump in their own primary this time. And certainly Demented Joe would fucking get his ass handed to him. And so they can't let him run. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
But listen, Eddie, I got to run. I love you. I thank you. Next time I promise I'll do longer.
Hey, dude, that was a quality show. Okay. You know, I hope to have you on more than one more time. We'll make this a regular thing. There's okay. So much to talk about. I'm sure we'll do a comedy show together. I'm doing the Comedy Store this Wednesday. Doing a show. I don't know if you're going to be there or not.
I'm in Spokane Wednesday and Thursday. I'm in Tacoma.
Okay. What dates?
I don't know. Whatever this Wednesday and Thursday is. September.
The show ain't going to come out for a couple weeks.
So it don't matter.
But how could people find you?
Go to jimmydorecomedy.com. And you could find me on YouTube. You can find me at jimmydorecomedy.com.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'll talk to you soon. Have a good
Eddie,
night.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. See you soon, pal.
See ya.
The Jiu-Jitsu Dojo is the ultimate training ground for life. Jiu-Jitsu will accelerate the evolution of your being, your consciousness, your soul. Through this amazing art, you will prove to yourself that you can master anything you set your mind to.
Happy birthday, Eddie Bravo.
I leave for Brazil tomorrow.
I'm the road to Abu Dhabi.
Are you the Fear Factor guy?
I'm like 6 pounds over. Time to sweat it out.
Just imagine someone that has no idea how different your game is.
I'll tell you what this weekend was, man. It was a culmination point where all your hard work comes to like one great moment in time. You showed that you're a fucking champion, guy who goes against convention. You created your own shit and figured interesting ways to get around problems in jiu-jitsu. And shows you that great things are possible if you work hard, if you dedicate yourself and use your creativity and you push through, your own human potential just goes up.
My 10th Planet Association has grown rapidly to over 70 academies worldwide, and their curriculums are all synced to 10th Planet headquarters located in downtown Los Angeles. I'm Eddie Bravo. I hope to see you on the mats.
You can tell it's real because it looks so fake.